Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to jump in here in Matthew chapter 4. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "the devil made me do it"? Anybody heard that phrase? Maybe even you said it jokingly. Maybe you said it seriously, but Lord, I hope not. But the devil made me do it. Or maybe you've heard the concept of, hey, I've always done that. It's just who I am. I've always given in this area. I've always done this. I always will. It's just who I am. Or maybe you've heard it. It's just, man, he's just a man, that's just what men do, or she's just a lady, that's just what ladies do. You've heard these common excuses in our culture. In the 1970s, there was a comedy show that was established by a comedian named Flip Wilson. And in this national syndicated show, this variety show, he created a character by the name of Geraldine. And Geraldine would always use this phrase whenever her husband accused her of anything, whether buying a dress that was too expensive or driving her car into the side of the church. Geraldine, this recurring character, would always use the phrase, "It wasn't me, the devil made me do it." And so many of us grew up with this in our minds, and it affected the way that we perceived the devil. And so oftentimes for us, it just is a cartoon to where we think on one side is a little red guy with a pitchfork and a pointed tail, and he's whispering one thing into our ear, and on the other side we have this little angel, and they're whispering something else into our ear, counteracting whatever temptation that the devil may bring. And usually in the cartoons, if you remember it right, that usually the devil, the little red character, always won and influenced the person to do bad more than the little angel influenced the person to do good. But is that how temptation really works in our lives? Is that really how it works in our lives, that the devil has power over us and that we can't do anything other than what he kind of influences us to do? Well, the short answer to that is no. In fact, the Bible is clear in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How many of you know that to be true today? That greater is he that is in me, that is in you, as we receive Christ and he resides inside of us, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so the devil truthfully doesn't have any power over us that we don't let him have. But how many of you know that the devil is persistent and he's persuasive? And the truth is that the closer that we walk to the Lord, the more we pursue God, the more we're endeavoring to be in his image and like him and be close to him, the harder that the devil will work to keep us off track. Now let me just pause right here. And let me just lay a foundation for us that we have to understand that in many of our lives, there is serious spiritual warfare going on for our lives. That there's spiritual warfare going on for our lives. And the truth is that there is a battle between the Holy Spirit that's within us to live according to what the Spirit would desire, and that there is temptation that comes and influenced by Satan, by the Bible calls the spirit of this age, in order for us to not live a victorious, passionate Christian life. And last week we talked about how some of us, we feel a promise in our hearts, that we feel this promise from God, we feel this direction from God, this calling from God, and that we feel like then after we get this promise or this direction or this calling from the Lord, that we go into a holding period. Now, we settled that a holding period is not a waiting period. It's a preparation time. Waiting time is not wasted time. It's preparation time. But far too often that during the holding time or during the waiting time that we feel frustration or we feel temptation to do something about it or we even feel depression at the circumstance in our life. And so often, it's spiritual warfare, again, a battle between Satan or the spirit of this age and God for the circumstance and the direction of our lives. But that's not uncommon. In fact, the Bible says that it happened to Jesus. If you look in Matthew chapter 4, which will be our text today, that we have to understand the context leading into Matthew chapter 4. So a little bit of the context today is this, is that Jesus is coming off of this spiritual high. He has just been baptized, and in that moment of baptism where John the Baptist baptized Jesus, he comes out of the water, and we saw the Holy Spirit descend upon his life. Boom. And then we hear God the Father in Matthew chapter 3 say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." It's this really powerful, dramatic moment in Scripture to where it's really ushering in Jesus into really ministry, kind of next stage. And so he is on this spiritual high, and that's when the devil started in on him. Now, the truth is, in so many of our lives, as I look across this room today, that maybe we've been in a good season of life, in a good time of life, or maybe we've seen advancement, or maybe God has been there taking care of us, and he's provided more than we could ever imagine. He's taken care of us, and that on every level, that it seems like that God has been there, and now suddenly we feel like we're in a waiting period. And then in the waiting period, again, there's the temptation for us to give in. There's a temptation for us to grow frustrated. There's a temptation in our hearts to try to circumvent the waiting period and jump into the blessings of God before he's ready to give those blessings. And my whole thing for you today is pursue God. Continue to pursue God. When things are good, pursue God. When you're in a holding period, pursue God. When it's the greatest or the worst moments of life, to pursue God. Jesus is in this moment where he's come off a high, he's come off this great moment, and now is when he begins to experience temptation. The beautiful thing is that we understand from Scripture in Hebrews 4 is that Jesus has faced every temptation that you and I will face. Sometimes we think, man, God just doesn't understand this situation. He just doesn't understand this moment. He doesn't understand how bad my boss is. I mean, this boss of all bosses is the worst boss. He just doesn't, you know what? He doesn't understand the dad jokes that George tells. And man, they just get so agitating, those dad jokes. I love dad jokes. Oh. In fact, my daughters were driving home from Minneapolis yesterday, and on the way home, they said something, and I made a joke, and my wife just simply replied in the group text, hashtag dad jokes. But sometimes we think, God doesn't understand this, but it says that Jesus was tempted in every way as we were, yet without sin. And so I want to know, how did he do it? How did he do it? What did he do? And what can we learn from him in regards to handling temptation in our lives? Because the truth is, we're going to be tempted. Amen? Yeah. Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse 1, here's what it says. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It's written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It's written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8, again, the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I've given to you, that if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you will worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. I want us to look at specifically how Jesus handled the temptation that was brought before him. I want us to look at how he handled it here in Matthew 4, how it went, how he took care of business, and really understanding the principle in life that you and I are going to face temptation. It's not a matter of if we face temptation, it's how we deal with that temptation. And so what can we learn from Jesus? If you're taking notes today, number one is this, is that God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. Verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, knowing that he would be tempted by the devil. So we know from James chapter 1, verse 13, that the Lord doesn't tempt anyone. But there is moments where he allows us to be tested. And in being tested, here's what happens. Jesus goes out into the desert. Now, why would the Holy Spirit allow Jesus to be led into the desert, specifically knowing that he was going to be tempted? In James chapter 1, verse 2, the reference isn't in your notes, but I want you to write that down. In fact, all of James chapter 1. But in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, that the testing of our faith produces what? Perseverance. Would everyone say perseverance with me? It produces perseverance in our lives. And now understand this. Perseverance isn't just a desired quality in the mature Christian. It's an essential quality. I want us to capture that again. The trait of perseverance in our lives for the mature Christian isn't just desired or preferred or a good option. It is essential in the life of the mature Christian. That if we're going to grow in our faith, there's got to be this spiritual grit going on to say that I am going to stick it out. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to pursue him. No matter what comes my way, I am going to keep on with God. It's not just in the bad times. Of course, we know that. I've got to have some grit to keep moving forward. But I'm talking about also in the good times or in the even times to where there's not really much resistance. We continue to pursue and call out to the Lord. This perseverance isn't just preferred. It's essential in the life of the mature Christian. So God is going to do what it takes to produce that quality in our lives. Every one of us have had teachers, and every teacher that we've ever had in school has given us tests. Now, usually those teachers who give tests can be broken up into two categories of teachers. One, they're teachers that test us on what we know. And then there's teachers that try to trip us up and test us on what we don't know. And so I want to ask you today, when you think about and understand the character of God, what kind of test giver is God? Now I want to ask you today this. What is the area of your life that right now you are experiencing temptation? This doesn't mean that you're not a mature believer. It doesn't mean that you... All of us will face temptation. And so today, in this moment, what area are you being tempted in right now? And is it better to ask God to remove the temptation? Or is it better to ask God to help you to pass the test? There are times when the temptation can't be easily removed. And in those moments, God does provide a way of escape. He does provide a way out. That in temptation, when it comes and it can't be easily removed, he provides for us a way out. According to Scripture, he says he will not put any test in front of us that we are not able to withstand. And when there is a test, there will be a way of escape, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. So praying that the test be removed might be the wrong thing, and rather saying, Lord, give me the strength to pass this test. Number two, if you're taking notes today, is this. How did Jesus handle temptation? The primary way or the primary defense against temptation is the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, verses 7, and verses 10. I want to read those quickly to you. Jesus answered, it's written, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 7, it says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." Three temptations that were brought before God. Every time he responded with scripture, but these three temptations that come our way can fall into three broad categories. If you're taking notes today, maybe you want to write these things down. But first temptation that came to him, he was tempted with physical needs. He's saying, hey, you're hungry, you've been fasting, hey, here are some things, turn these stones into bread. He was tempted with physical needs. Maybe today that's the area where we're struggling the most, is with physical needs, and we're tempted in this area. Secondly, Jesus was tempted with taking a shortcut. Jesus knew the plan of God. Jesus knew what the process was to fulfill the plan of God in his life and through his life. Jesus knew that he would have to go to Jerusalem, that he would have to suffer, that he'd have to be betrayed by one of his closest followers, and that he would have to be beaten, and that he would be killed, according to Matthew 16:21. The devil tempted Jesus to bypass all of that with this dramatic display of God's power that would firmly establish him as the Son of God. And yet in that moment, Jesus said, hey, that's not the plan. Get behind me, walk away. And ultimately, he fulfilled the plan of God. And I want to ask today, is that our temptation? Is to shortcut things, is to bypass the processes of God in order to bring about God's blessing? Or maybe, just maybe, it's to be dishonest in an area in order for financial gain. Maybe we're wanting to shortcut the processes of God and cut the process short in order to more quickly get to desired results for our life. Maybe for singles that we're wanting to bypass God's plan and we're wanting to jump in far too deep and far too intimately when God's saying, hey, just follow my plan and you're going to find the blessing in that. Maybe that we're dating someone and we're eager to be married and God's saying, hey, it's not this person, but it's the next. Just be patient. Take shortcuts and we try to get God's blessings when God is saying, go through the process. The third way that he was tempted is with power. He's saying that I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll simply fall down and worship me. Is that maybe our struggle today, is that we want influence or we want wealth, or maybe part of power is that we want approval, that we want people to like us? But how many of you know today that if you're in line with God's word, there will be times where you're at odds with the world. One more time, guys. That if we are in line with God, there will be times that we're at odds with the world or where the world does not approve. And I want to tell you, that's okay. Because the question is, do we want approval in this lifetime or the next? Jesus responded to all three of these temptations with scripture. You notice he doesn't say, hey, hold on a minute. Let me go look it up. Let's see, where is that? What's that word? That all three times he responds to the temptations with scripture. And it reminds me of the verse in Psalms 119:11. It says, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. Jesus had hidden the word of God in his heart. And here's what I want to challenge you with, guys. As followers of Christ, as those who've crossed the line of faith to say that I have gone from unbelief to belief, from not following God to following him, I want to encourage you to be in the Word every day. Guys, there are so many resources and advancements that allow us to read and study and know the scripture. And now it's time for application. Whether it's YouVersion that you download or Bible Gateway or Logos or whatever, that you can find incredible resources to just open it up and read and study. And that this will help us in our walk with the Lord. This will help us because this is the revelation of God to us. This is the unchanging word of God. This shows us throughout human history how God has dealt with mankind. And as we understand how God deals with mankind, it helps us to walk with God more closely. And then not only as we're reading the word do we understand, but there becomes a revelation in our hearts of who God is. In fact, how many of you want to know God more than you know him now? Listen, I'm not just talking about religion and that you can quote back some verses. I'm talking about that you want the revelation of God in your heart. To where it goes from where, like, you read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." One of the most quoted verses in the Bible, one of the most known verses in the Bible. I want to go from it more being the just here to where it's here in my heart, that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me, and that he died on the cross, and that if I receive him, I can have eternal life with him. I can have life and life abundantly here, and eternal life, to where it's not just something that I've learned in Sunday school, but it's something in the depths of my heart that God has revealed to me. Jesus responded to temptation with scripture, and I want to encourage you, be in the word every day. In Ephesians chapter 6, the author writes, and he begins to talk about the armor of God. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the shoes with the readiness of the gospel, and the only weapon that was offensive, the only weapon that was proactive in our fight against the devil, in our living a holy life, was the word of God, and it's called the sword of the Spirit. And I want us to capture the purpose of the armor of God in the very first place. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, so that we can take our stand against the schemes of the devil. So in other words, the word of God, the armor of God, is for us to stand strong and not give in to temptation. And so today I want to ask you, not only where are we being tempted, but where are we falling into temptation today? And what I encourage you to do is to go and find scriptures on that topic. Let's just say that we're dealing with anger, and that we go and we begin to find scriptures in the Bible dealing with anger, and we write them down, place them on our mirror, that we place them on our refrigerator, and that we begin to read them over and over and over again. Maybe you're dealing with, not just are you dealing with anger, but you're dealing with impatience. What does the Bible say about patience? Maybe you're dealing just with lust or pride or apathy. What does the Bible say? And begin to allow his word to sink into our hearts, and you put it out so you can read it day by day and it can strengthen you. The Bible says, listen, this isn't in our notes, but on Titus chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says this, that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to unrighteousness in this present age and to live a godly, righteous, holy life right now. So in other words, in the area that you're being tempted, and I want to ask a question. Who's been tempted here in the last month? Raise your hands up high. Last week. Maybe today on the way to church. That we're going to be tempted. But it says the grace of God has appeared to all men that bring salvation. So in other words, Jesus came, he appeared to us, and this grace is readily available in our lives, and that we don't have to give in to sin. In other words, we can live a victorious life. Guys, Jesus modeled life for us, and that we can live a holy life, that we don't have to give in to temptation. Number three, if you're taking notes, how did Jesus overcome temptation is this. When we resist the devil, he flees from us, and the Spirit strengthens us. Matthew 4:11, it says that when Jesus had resisted him three times, it says the devil left and angels came and attended him. This same passage in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they're the same, that they're laid out the same. When you compare this passage to Luke chapter 4, It says, and again, in Matthew, the devil left and angels came and attended him. Luke 4 says, the devil left him until a more opportune time. That we can resist the devil and he'll leave, but I want to tell you that it won't always be for a long time. But the promise that we have from Scripture is that when we resist him, that the devil will flee from us, according to James chapter 4, verse 7. And when you think of that term flee, it comes with this concept that I don't flee from someone who I'm bigger than. I don't flee from someone that I am stronger than. I don't flee. You know when you flee from someone is when there is a superior force pursuing you. That you never see the greater army in Scripture outside of God empowering the smaller army. You never see the greater, more powerful army fleeing. And that scripture gives the connotation that when you resist the devil, the Holy Spirit empowers us, the Holy Spirit resides in us, that he flees because he's fleeing from a superior force. As instead of us giving in to temptation, as we say, hey, get away from me, Satan, get behind me, I rebuke you. When we ultimately, with the way we're living, saying, God, I'm standing strong, that the devil has to flee. The promise of scripture is this, is that the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:26, will help us. And our weakness. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. So how did he resist temptation? I want us to get practical with it. We've already looked at the most practical elements. And so if you're taking notes today, is number one. The practical thing is knowing God's word and hiding it in your heart. If you're not in a small group, I encourage you to get in a small group when those sessions start back up. I encourage you to be a part of summer revival every Wednesday night. I encourage you to be reading the word on a daily basis. I encourage you to take the notes that you get each week to go home and review them. In fact, if you reviewed them closely, you'll see last week there was a typo in it and that I put a wrong reference in there and that I said Hebrews 16. There's not 16 chapters in Hebrews. It's Hebrews 6. Right? How many of you caught that? Anybody? Cheryl. Right. Great. So know the word of God, read it daily, write it down, put it places where you'll read it. Number two is this. The second way to resist temptation practically is to understand how temptation works. Here's how temptation works in our lives, guys. We are tempted when desire and opportunity come together. Think of it. Every time that you gave in to temptation, it always was at the intersection of desire and opportunity. So when we feel the desire to sin, ask God to remove the opportunity. When we have the opportunity to sin, ask God to take away the desire. And I want to tell you this, that's something from personal experience that I found to be incredibly, incredibly helpful, particularly early in my Christian life, is that when I had the opportunities to sin, when they were there before me, I asked God ahead of time, Lord, help me not to have the desire. And then there are times that I had the strong desire to sin, and I was pursuing sin, and God did not allow the opportunity to be present. And looking back throughout my early Christian life, I'm so incredibly grateful for God removing some of the opportunities because I was willing to participate, and God took those away. Does that make sense today? That when we give into temptation, it's always at the intersection of desire and opportunity. But remember this, God will always provide a way of escape in our lives. We just have to look for it. It may that we can get ourselves out of the situation in which we have the opportunity to sin or just walk away. It could mean that we arrange our family computer in a way that is visible to the entire room. It could be that we have an accountability partner that we call every night. We say, hey, here's what's going on in life. Here's what's going on with my anger. Here's what's going on that I'm involved in the word like I should be. Here's what's going on in my life. On the other hand, maybe that we try to avoid a situation. And if we can't avoid it, then we ask God to remove the desire in our heart by creating such a purity in our hearts and by creating such a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that when we have the opportunity and the desire leaves because of such a desire to please God and not give in to our sinful desires. Guys, this is what I feel like was on our heart for today. That if you'll notice, the notes in the program are completely different than the free notes because this is something that we rewrote last night because it's something for us today. That we have to understand how temptation works, that when desire and opportunity come, that we have to understand temptation is not irresistible. Temptation's inevitable, but it's not irresistible in our lives. And the reformer Martin Luther said this. He goes, hey, I can't prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. Really profound. Have you allowed temptations to build a nest in your hair? If so, begin to destroy the nest. Because though temptation, again, is inevitable, it's not irresistible. And we can live a godly life, a holy life, because there's no temptation that seizes us except what is common to man. And when that temptation comes, God will provide a way of escape. Guys, God has an incredible plan for your life. He's got a purpose. It's irrevocable without repentance. There's a calling and gifting upon our lives to pursue Him, to follow Him, and that we can fully fulfill His will for our lives, just like Jesus did. He didn't shortcut or bypass the process, and He lived a holy life through the power of the Father in Him. Guys, I want you to stand with me. I want us to pray today. That our altar call today is just simply going to be this. I want you to begin to think about the areas of temptation you're struggling with and the areas of temptation you're giving into and saying, Lord, with you, I am more than a conqueror. With you, I am more than victorious. With you, I can live holy and pure. With you, I can do all things because greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. How many of you know that to be the truth of God? Father, today, Lord, we commit our lives to you. And Father, as we just close out this service today, you see the areas of temptation that we're facing right now. As we close out service, you see the areas of temptation that maybe we're giving into today. And today I pray, Lord, that you would give us the understanding and the conviction that though temptation is irresistible, is inevitable, it is not irresistible. And that we can overcome. We can overcome that temptation and live a life that would be pleasing to you. And the benefit is not only for this life, but the life to come. That we live our lives with this blessed hope of the return of Christ. And that today we would live a passionate, godly life, taking the steps to resist temptation. Not just by the negative of not doing something, but we resist temptation for the positive of giving our lives to Christ and fully serving you, serving in ministry, living it out in the marketplace, being an example of Christ to the world around us. Father, today, give us strength in this room. And I pray against any discouragement or pray against any defeated hearts that there would be victory in our hearts and our spirits, knowing that greater is He that is within me than He that is in the world. And we walk out of here today living in victory because of your Holy Spirit empowering us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And together we said as a church, amen. Temptation is inevitable. It's not irresistible. Go live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live in victory.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.